Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
The civil rights laws were not passed to allow those boys who identify as girls into the girls' locker room and to play on the girls' sports team. This is turning the civil rights laws upside down.
Abortion is not confined to the first trimester of the pregnancy. That extends to the entire length of the pregnancy and even when the child comes out.
If your pastor is already slipping and preaching and teaching and working in direct revelation into his sermons, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse.
If you want to see history through the eyes of the Lord and the things that matter to him and the things that don't, Revelation gives it to us.
While snow blowing our driveways, hardy Minnesotans love to listen to Issues Etc.
The actual numbers on this are shocking and chilling and depressing. Children are seeing pornography at a much earlier age than ever before. That has to do with the fact that we're putting devices that connect them to the internet in their hands at earlier and earlier ages. That must just completely mess up a child's mind. And if it becomes an addiction, as it often does, their life. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, January the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about Christians and pornography with Chaplain Steve Hocana. He's author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled A Battle for the Soul. Chris Roseborough will join us after that. Our feature this week in Pop Christianity. We'll talk about Joel Osteen hijacking a prophecy about Jesus and making it about you. Then Dr. Donna Harrison, she's of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. She'll join us to react to an op-ed in the Washington Post titled How the Biden Administration Should Stand Up for Abortion Rights. Well, the Biden administration has been doing a lot of things to support the advocacy of abortion and perhaps planning to do more. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have our 4 soundbites lined up for you to play. After we've played them in the last half hour of the program, then it's your turn. You listen and then vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and you could vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about Christians and pornography, Chaplain Steve Hocana. He is Assistant Director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces and author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled A Battle for the Soul. Chaplain Hocana, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's great to be here today. How are you?
Very well. Famous author and theologian in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Nadia Bolz Weber, recently suggested online the idea of what she called ethically sourced pornography. Is such a thing possible for a Christian?
Well, I take a pretty hard stance on some issues, and so with her, I'm pretty harsh, and I don't mean to sound like a mean guy, but that to me sounds like an excuse by someone who could be addicted to pornography. It's just one of those terrible things that, you know, this is so pervasive and it's so destructive, it's addictive. You know, I had a person a long time ago come to me for counseling. He said, Chaplain, I want to give up all gambling except bingo. I love bingo, and I won't give it up. So I do not think that ethically sourced pornography is an answer. I do not think that it's helpful. And I also understand some of what Weber is. She's pretty famous in the ELCA. She's kind of a rock star, a little counterculture avant-garde. I get all that. But we need to help people that are desperately, desperately tied to this terrible addiction. And, you know, the best way to do it is just flee from it. Just have nothing to do with this stuff. Absolutely.
Where do we begin in Scripture to address the problem of pornography?
Well, you know, we can always go back to the Garden of Eden, to the fall, where we lost that relationship that we had with God. Scripture is pretty clear on it, though. I mean, you can look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the call by the Apostle Paul to the people of Corinth about just flee from sexual immorality. Just Paul's very clear, and through the Holy Spirit tells us just stay away from it. It's not good. It's not helpful. Also, Jesus talks about it, too. Paul, again, talks about it in Romans chapter 1. So it's not that there aren't places in Scripture to tell us what to do about it, but it's what do we do about it as Christians.
Talk about the use of pornography as an addiction.
Oh, I tell you, you know, and I just to back up a little bit, you know, my understanding of the way we approach theology is, as Lutherans, is one of them is practical. You know, the rubber meets the road, the praxis and understanding of faith and how it's used daily. And, you know, when you look at the theological exploration of pornography, you find that it's just devastating. I was a chaplain of a federal prison a couple of years ago, and a number of the men that were in that prison were there for violent crimes. Of those, they would talk to me, you know, in a very private manner about how pornography had a factor to their violent crimes. And the violent crimes that they committed were just absolutely horrific and terrible. I mean, it's... And every time I kept hearing it, I kept thinking, well, wait a minute, there seems to be a sense of commonality here. And this commonality seems to be pornography. It is a factor in the committing of violent offenses against our fellow human beings. So it's something that really needs to be looked at and explored. And I think that our culture has surrendered. They're just saying, well, that's just the way it is. Well, that doesn't have to be the way it is. We need to talk about it. We need to address it. We need to approach it as Christians. Not only within our own church, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, we also need to talk about it to the world, that this is not good, and this is not right, and it is destructive. It destroys families. It is at the root of major crimes in the United States. And so we need to talk about it. We need to take a stand against it.
What has research shown us about the connection between pornography and other grave social ills to family and society?
You know, there's a couple of different levels when we talk about pornography and the addiction of pornography. So among the things you can see is there's an active slave trade in the United States. We talk about horrible things that are tied to major events. So under the screen of a major sporting event, let's say, children come in and they're, oh, it's just it's horrible. The other things that can lead to is depression. Because what will happen is that you can get addicted to pornography. I think it's highly addictive, actually. And when you get addicted to it, then all of a sudden, God's not the center of gravity of your life. Your faith in Christ is not the center of gravity. Your family, your wife, if you're a man, your husband, if you're a woman. And yes, women are involved in pornography as well. It causes the destruction of relationships with the closest people that love us the most. And because of that, it's something that we have to approach and we have to talk about. And I think as Christians and as Lutherans, we also have a voice. We have a chair at the table discussing about what we can do to help people who may be addicted to pornography and have the need for redemption as a result of being addicted to pornography.
Since the use of pornography is often a secret sin, how does that complicate the situation?
Oh, Todd, I tell you, like a mind reader. One of the things that in my anecdotal experience as I was doing counseling, you know, as a chaplain, not only at the federal prison system, but also in the ministry that I've done over the years, it throws up a wall. If you have a secret sin, if you're trying to hide the shame of pornography from your wife, it's very difficult. And I would recommend that you only do it with support of a counselor or a pastor who understands addictions and pornography to even approach your loved one, your wife, or in the case of a wife with her husband, because it's terribly threatening to them. You as a spouse, you're sitting there looking at and lusting at women who, you know, have carved and shaped and sculpted their bodies. They're artists, so to speak. They're performance people. And then your loved one has to compete with that. And he or she cannot compete with that. And so that's going to be so hurtful for that loved one. And I've seen that so many times, the anger that pornography can cause in families and the deep wounds in relationship are absolutely stunning. You know, I have to be careful not to give the litmus of the different types of counseling sessions that I've had. But if you are truly addicted to pornography, just stop what you're doing and don't do anything in the pornography area arena for 2 weeks. Just don't. And if you're tempted because you're going on the computer, and I know a lot of our livelihoods are based on computers, you've got to find a way to stay off these pornographic sites, anything that would reawaken the hunger or desire for pornography. It creates a chemical change in the brain. It's like gambling. You're looking for the next hit. It can also cause a deterioration of what you're looking at. So you may be looking at something that might be labeled, you know, well, it's okay, it's light, and before you know it, you're looking at horrifically violent pornography, and that's so destructive in the lives of God's people.
How should pastors and congregations begin to address the sin of using pornography?
Well, I think one of the things, too, is we have to acknowledge, look, we're not a bunch of pietists. You know, we're not a bunch of lemon-sucking prudes. We are people that do live in this world, and we understand the world in which we live. We are sinners. We stand as condemned people of God without Jesus. I think we first need to acknowledge that we are absolutely far from perfect. Because one of the things that you'll find with people that have an addiction in the area of pornography especially is the deep self-loathing that they will have, that deep sense of self-hatred. And so it's so difficult for them when they're overcome with shame and guilt to talk about it. And so this is something that has to be approached, you know, gently and also intentionally. And I think maybe as well as deliberately with someone who's hurting. And so I think number one, to acknowledge their own sinfulness and sinful condition. And then the second thing is to provide a place for them with constant confidentiality to discuss with, I sometimes would call it a behavioral health provider. If a pastor is not available or doesn't have the skill set for this, to discuss with them before they even talk to their wife or their husband. It is so destructive, and it can really destroy relationships. So the church should take a stance against pornography. They should make it known that we are a church that considers pornography a wedge, something that's destructive in the relationship that God had intended. But we are also here to stand by to help and assist, to show you that there is a more excellent way. I always like, you know, Paul's approach for the church in Corinth, you know, this cosmopolitan port city, and how the Apostle Paul was training these people with just love to say, look, don't do this, instead do that. And I think that's one of the beautiful gifts that we give to people is that, you know, we don't just tell them not to do something, but we tell them to do something. You know, like the way that Luther had taught us in the commandments in our confirmation class. You know, we're to do, not do this, but we're also to do this. And so there are things that you can do to help fill the void that pornography can create in the heart of people.
We're talking about Christians in Pornography. Chaplain Steve Hocanna is our guest, Assistant Director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces and author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled A Battle for the Soul. The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. It's available in print and online. Find out more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. On the other side, we'll talk about the place of private confession and absolution in addressing the sin of pornography use. The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're visiting Frankenmuth, Michigan, come to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in nearby Frankentroth.
a hardy band of German missionaries founded Emanuel Frankentrost in the wilderness near Saginaw. At Emanuel, you can still hear the law and gospel in a beautiful liturgical service, just like those first settlers. For directions and divine service times, visit frankentrost.org. That's FRANKENTROST.org.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday, January the 29th, we're talking about Christians and pornography with Chaplain Steve Hocanna. Chaplain Hocanna, talk about the place of private confession and absolution in addressing the sin of pornography.
Well, it's absolutely powerful, and it's stellar. One of the things, though, too, with people who do suffer from behavioral health issues, and I do believe that pornography can become that, is the establishment of trust has to be there. So the penitent has to know that they can trust their pastor, that when they talk to their pastor, it may take weeks for that person to come and discuss what they have. And once they know that they trust you, then the floodgates will be open. And that is a sense of confession and absolution. I think one of the deep, dark senses of evil that pornography does is it drives you into darkness and privacy. It's not privacy, it's just darkness. It's a deep hole, you know, and it just cuts off areas of hope and eventually salvation. It's just horrible. So a good place to start is by way of confession. So if you as a pastor or as a person in a church where you know someone might be suffering from pornography, they've gotten addicted to it, is to encourage them to talk to the pastor. If the pastor understands the concept of addictive behavior, if they understand that there is redemption, and by confession and absolution, that's such a key component in the healing of someone that's hurting.
In some cases, should a pastor recommend professional counseling for husbands and wives who are struggling with the effects of pornography?
Oh, Todd, that's a great question. And I think that it would be a collaborative effort. You know, so you would talk to the person who's got the addiction, then you would talk to their spouse, and you may want to talk to them separately and talk together. I've always thought that the pastors in our communities know more about health care and behavioral health than probably just about anybody else within the county and the town where they reside. So they need to find a good, competent counselor, and it may be a therapist, but someone who understands the power of salvation, someone who understands the role of confession and absolution in the lives of God's people, and an incredible partnership can occur. You know, there could be some other reasons for the addiction to pornography, and this is where you would need a behavioral health specialist. It's still wrong. It's still horribly erroneous. It's not healthy. It's not going to bring about healing pornography at all. But you get a behavioral health specialist in there and can look at other things, like other addictive behaviors, alcoholism, so to speak, or there could be other problems, too. They could be suffering from depression. And so they would need help with that. I'm a big, big fan of let's go ahead and collaborate with behavioral health providers. I think that power of our confessions, the understanding of Christ's role in redemption, the sinful humanity that we understand people to have, combined with behavioral health providers, can be a very powerful tool to overcome the horrible addiction of pornography.
What is the church's message of both law and gospel on the sin of pornography use?
I think it's absolutely clear. In the article, I started out with the sermon of Martin Luther on the commandment, what is a God? And the God is that to which we look to for all good things. You know, and so what people unintentionally and accidentally do is they segue into looking at pornography for all good things. If I'm sad, I'll look at pornography. If I'm happy, I'll look at pornography. If life is difficult, I'll look at pornography. And before you know it, you are addicted to pornography. So we need to understand as a church that this is something that I don't believe anybody wakes up, and I said this in the article, can wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to be addicted to a horrific, terrible problem, and this is just my life plan. They don't do that. They get snared and they get stuck. And so it's important for us to understand that this is violence and horrificness of the law, how terrible the law is, and accountable to God for this type of sin. This is not just a sin in isolation. When a man or woman views pornography, you know, they're in, obviously in violation of the commandment concerning adultery, but they're also in violation of the commandment concerning their trust in God. And so you're breaking the commandments just up and down the spectrum. God mandates that we are perfect and that we obey his laws. Well, you can't do it, and you place yourself into a very dangerous place. And in a way, it goes back to the thing about Pastor Nadia. You know, you can't slap a saddle on this type of sin. This is horrific and terrible, devastating, destructive. And so at the same time, we have to acknowledge God's grace through his son Jesus, what he has done for us, that he has that ability that when he died on the cross, that he died for the sins of all humanity, all sins for all humanity, and that that redemption of forgiveness is for you who are living in darkness, who are hurting so badly for pornography. So it's vitally important that when we talk about pornography and the problems of pornography, we need to understand sin and grace, law and gospel. There is no sin that Christ could not help a person overcome. You know, it's just one of the beauties of the gospel, and that's what we have.
What pastoral advice do you have for someone who wants to rid their life of pornography?
I think there's a couple of things. One of them is, and I mentioned earlier, is to establish and develop a sense of trust. So as pastor, if you're helping someone to overcome the sin of pornography, we have to do that Luther concept of seelsorge. We have to journey with that person. We have to be willing to walk with them. We have to also realize that as pastors, a large sense of self-loathing they may have, the sad justification of their bad behavior has to be contended with. It's going to take time. But it's very, very serious, and it should be dealt with. So to journey with the person. The second is in the area where you live as a pastor or a leader of a church, if you also can find out some good resources to send this person, that would be very, very helpful as well. You know, they need to know that there's a place where they can talk, where they can open up about the sadness and tragedy of this horrible sin. It's a shameful thing, and everybody knows this who seems to be addicted to it. If they don't, it's after the crime is committed and sent to prison for many, many years that they will sit down and will say, yeah, pornography was a key component in what I did, and I acknowledge that I am a sinner. So it's very important that again, as pastors, that we recognize just how devastating this is and how we need God's help, and we need to be that little Christ to that person that's suffering so badly from pornography.
Finally, before we let you go, what can you tell us about LCMS ministry to the armed forces?
Well, thank you for that, Todd, too, because ministry to the armed forces is a place where Chaplain Craig Mueller, the endorser, myself, I'm his deputy, where we want to tell the story of ministry to the armed forces to our pastors of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and to those that are fantastic, great church attenders and supporters. You know, we try to find good qualified pastors to serve in the military. There is a desperate need for good quality Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastors to put on that uniform, to take good care of those young men and women who stepped up and are serving the country. I think ministry to the armed forces does too, is we'll help congregations to help them to reconnect with veterans and their families and their community. Vitally important that sometimes a veteran will feel isolated. They'll feel alone. They feel like no one understands. Well, we can train congregations to help reach out and care for these veterans. It's a beautiful ministry. You know, you bring military people into your congregation and you welcome them as a military veteran. You're going to get someone who's going to they're just going to love you and they're going to support your church. So it's kind of a synergistic deal, but it's very important nonetheless. The other thing Ministry to the Armed Forces does is it defends that First Amendment right of our chaplains and also those that are Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that are in the military particularly. So if you hear of any type of issue or circumstance where there's someone in the military that their First Amendment rights are not being followed, please give Chaplain Craig Mueller, give myself a call, email us, text us. We will get on that and we'll make sure that we can put that thing right.
Learn more about LCMS ministry to the armed forces at lcms.org/armed forces, serving those who serve LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armed forces. Chaplain Steve Hokana is Assistant Director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces and author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled A Battle for the Soul. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. It's been an honor to speak with you today.
When we get back, This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Rosebrough, we'll go to an oldie but a goodie, Joel Osteen, hijacking another prophecy about Jesus.
Fornication, that is, sexual intercourse between persons not married to each other, is strictly forbidden by the Scriptures. St. Paul sternly warned the Corinthians, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality will inherit the kingdom of God." Thus wrote David Ramirez in his article, "Do Not Be Deceived," in the January issue of the Lutheran Witness, Chaste and Decent Life. To read the entire issue on how to live a chaste and decent life, pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness today, cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Simultaneously saint and sinner, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.